Well, we are in a message series called Believe, and today is week number 27, and today we're talking about kindness and goodness, and the key idea today is I choose to be kind and good in my relationships with others. All right, let me start with a story. Over 30 years ago, a young woman was driving alone at night in a rough area of downtown Los Angeles. She's driving her old beat-up Datsun 1200, best car she could afford at the time. She is in a rough section of Los Angeles. Something is amiss with her car. She exits the freeway. All of a sudden, things go haywire. The lights go out. The dash lights go out. Everything. And worse, the car begins to fill with smoke. She jumps out of her car, only to see smoke billowing. She sees two guys running in her direction. One guy is carrying something. She has no idea what. And she said, I remember thinking to myself, uh-oh, I'm dead. Not only is my car dying, here I am in a rough section of Los Angeles. I am dead. But the guys that get there, they run past her, go to the car, open the hood, smoke's billowing everywhere. They take a blanket. They smother a fire. She didn't realize, my car's on fire. Her car could have exploded, could have killed her, could have killed those two guys. Fast forward a few moments, fire department's there, everything's calmed down. She looks for the two guys to just say thank you and to try to repay them in some way. She has no idea who they are or where they are. They've moved on. So now she has a dilemma. She had no way to repay these two good Samaritans, so what would she do? She decided she'd pay it forward. She would take their kindness and she'd pay it forward. Her first opportunity came along a couple of weeks later. She stopped. She helped another woman. The woman said, I need to repay you. And here's what I said. She said, don't pay it back to me. Pay it forward. Take this kindness and pay it forward to someone else. And then this woman by the name of Catherine, she said, I spent the next 20 years wondering what kind of world it would be like if that idea caught fire. Take a kindness and pay it forward. Well, 20 years of thinking that way led Catherine Ryan Hyde into writing a book called Pay It Forward, which was released into a major motion picture. And in the movie, a young boy by the name of Trevor explained his idea. He says, if someone did you a favor, something big, something you couldn't do on your own, and instead of paying it back, you paid it forward to three people, and the next day, they each paid it forward to three more, and the day after that, those 27 each paid it forward to another three, and each day, everyone in turn paid it forward to three more people, in 2 weeks, that comes to 4,782,969 acts of kindness. He presented that to his teacher. His teacher said, I think that's an overly utopian idea. What do you think? Can you change a corner of the world through kindness? Some of you, when you saw our theme for today, kindness and goodness, you went, really? I mean, we're just talking about being nice, being pleasant. Really? Kindness, goodness. How pedestrian. How ordinary. How vanilla. But listen, my friends, kindness is underrated. We might equate it with being nice or pleasant, getting along, smiling, not ruffling any feathers. But the Bible presents a very, very different and very compelling portrait of kindness. There is a kindness that is supernatural. It is otherworldly. Let me put a definition on the screen of Christian kindness. Christian kindness is a supernaturally generous orientation of our hearts toward other people, even when they don't deserve it, and even when they don't respond and return our kindness. God Himself is kind that way. He loves us even when it's undeserved. He's been kind to us even when it's undeserved and even when we're not responding. All right, I have two simple points today. Here's the first one. Celebrate what God's kindness means to you. Celebrate what God's kindness means to you. From the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verse 1, here's the most repeated phrase in all the Bible. You ready? Here it is. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You know, the word kindness literally means goodness of heart. Kindness flows out of a good heart. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I remember being in a church service one time, and I was a visitor there, and evidently they had a tradition, a habit in that church. The worship leader would stand up front, and he would say, God is good. And then everybody in unison would go, all the time. And I was like, okay, what is this? God is good. And everybody, all the time. And then he would say, all the time. And everybody would go, God is good. God really is good all the time. Okay, now, how many of you have been following the Astros in the first 2 weeks of the season? Yes, yes. All the righteous people out there following the Astros. Good, 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 good. Jose Altuve, I mean, I love the guy. He is fantastic. Led the major leagues last year in hitting, what, 346? He's leading the Astros right now, batting 351. The guy's just incredible. So much fun to watch. But you think about that, batting 351. 35% of the time, he gets a hit. When Ronnie, his on-base average is like 415, four and change. That's right. So, okay, so 40% of the time, he's on base. 60% of the time, he's not. In other words, none of us could say, Jose Altuve is good all the time. All the time, Altuve. We couldn't do that. Aren't you thankful that God's not good 35% of the time? That God's on-base average is 415. No. He is good and kind, and specifically the Apostle Paul will explain what that means. Out of Titus chapter 3, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. There you go. By all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. This is a toxic description. He said that's who we were. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Say those three words with me. You ready? He saved us. He saved us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. He saved us from the wrath of God. He saved us from eternal death and eternal judgment. He saved us not just from that, but what did he do? He took us. He put us in a place of incredible blessing. And here we stand now in an atmosphere of divine benediction and divine blessing. He saved us out of his own kindness. It was undeserved, and some of us have not responded to it. But God wants to save us out of his kindness and love. Not because, he says, of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And he says it again. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You want to see what kindness looks like? Look no further than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look no further than the offering of Jesus Christ. He saved us by his kindness. Celebrate what the kindness of God means to you. And here's the second point. Demonstrate how God's kindness works through you. Demonstrate it. Everybody in this room, we all have the potential to be really kind. And listen, and we all have the potential also to be unkind. If you did your Bible reading this week in our belief book, you remember that the key verse is out of 1 Thessalonians 5. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. In other words, hey, will you intercept the brokenness? Will you be the person that breaks the chain? Will you be the person that breaks the crazy? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what's good for each other and everybody else. Out of Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul's talking about an environment where there's just toxic, relational toxic waste everywhere. But he says, as God's people, holy and dearly loved, would you clothe yourself with what? With compassion. What's compassion? Compassion is giving somebody the benefit of the doubt relationally. Clothe yourself with kindness, that orientation of generosity of the heart. Clothe yourself with humility. What's that? Being more concerned with serving somebody than judging them. Gentleness and patience. All right. Let's go to another passage of Scripture and get ready. You need to fasten your seatbelt on this one. This is probably the most explained away passage in all the New Testament. It is revolutionary. If you believe it and seek to apply it, it's truly what sets Christians apart from non-Christians. This passage of Scripture had an incredible impact on Mahatma Gandhi, on Alexander Solzhenitsyn, on Dr. Martin Luther King, on Nelson Mandela. It's probably the passage of Scripture let's pretend it's not in the Bible passage of Scripture. You ready? From Luke 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus is giving us a vision here for a different kind of life. And listen, this is not talking about the role of government and police. And you're going to read this passage of Scripture, and immediately you're going to start going, but what about? Before you go to all the whatabouts, take a deep breath. Listen to it again. Love your enemies. Jesus knows, recognizes that hating our enemies, it's a common and natural thing to do. Enemies come to us through a combination of either circumstances or choice. Circumstances are often beyond our control. Somebody considers you an enemy simply because of the color of your skin or the job you hold or some prejudice against you or simply because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and for whatever reason, you're on their enemy list. But choices are within our control. No one can be my enemy unless I choose for them to be my enemy. Now, they might consider themselves my enemy. They might consider myself my enemy and view me as an enemy, but no one can be my enemy without my consent. Some of you have a very low threshold for enemyhood. It just doesn't take much to get on your enemy list. Disagree with you politically? Oh, you're on my enemy list. Disagree with me in any way religiously? You're on my enemy list. Disagree with me in some personal way? Well, you're on my enemy list. That guy's a Rangers fan. He's on the list. Oh, yeah. And the vast majority of our enemies are people that we know best. But they've touched our lives in 1,001 different ways. And what Jesus is calling us to is absolutely radical behavior. It's the most revolutionary teaching of any religion or religious leader in human history. It distinguishes Christians from non-Christians more than anything else. Now, when Jesus says love your enemies, he's not talking about an emotional attachment. You know, there's an emotional easiness that comes with loving a close relative or a friend. Loving your enemy, it's more of a choice of the will than the heart. But when that person has brought ugliness to you, you seek to bring goodness and blessing to that person. That's the default. That's where you start. Nelson Mandela spent much of his life in a South African prison under the racism of apartheid. In one of the most amazing transformations in history, he was not only set free, he became the president of South Africa. Heads of state from around the globe attended his inauguration, all vying for the front row seats of honor. But do you know who Mandela invited to sit in the front seats at his inauguration? He invited his prison guards. Love your enemies. Then Jesus gets real specific. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Hey, take a creative third option here. You could fight back. You could roll over and play dead. How about a creative third option? If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. In other words, just say, I'm willing to be humiliated. I'm willing to be wronged and inconvenienced in the name of Jesus. That's my initial default response. And he'll summarize it in verse 31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Everybody say that with me, the golden rule. You ready? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, everybody here is familiar with the wooden rule. The wooden rule is simply a commodity exchange. Reciprocity in kind. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You do something good for me, I'll do something good for you. You compliment me, I'll compliment you. It's just a little game of ping pong. And we can do good things. We can reciprocate in good ways. Or you get nasty with me, I get nasty with you. We just reciprocate in kind. And listen, there are some people who never, ever, ever grow beyond the wooden rule. They're 60, 70, 80 years old. What you do to me, I'll do to you. Then there's the silver rule, which is what? Do no harm. Do no harm. What the rabbis used to say, the rabbis would say, like Rabbi Hillel, what is hateful to yourself, do to no other. Confucius said, do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. But Jesus comes along, and he takes the active form. He says, be a difference maker. Do to others as you would have them do unto you. And then listen to Jesus. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Remember when Michael Franzese was here, the mafia guy? Here's the way he would say it. Even mafia guys love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even mafia guys do that. And if you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that? Even mafia guys do that, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Then your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Listen, my friends, when you decide to follow Jesus on the road of radical kindness, here's what happens. You will pray for your enemies. Yeah, I'll pray for my enemies. Dear God, would you please zap that person with the worst case of hives ever known to mankind? You pray for that person in a blessed way. It'll be the hardest thing you'll ever do. It'll be one of the most life-shaping things you ever do. You'll behave like a child of God. What was it Jesus said? He said, you'll be children of the Most High. You'll follow God's example. Who does what? He's kind even to the wicked and the ungrateful. Theologians call it common grace, giving wonderful blessings to people who love him and giving wonderful blessings to people who take him for granted. You'll choose God's reward. God rewards kindness in surprising and explicable ways. And listen, and you will choose to relate counterculturally. Jesus says, this sets you apart from the world. Listen, Jesus knows the human heart. He just does. And he knows if we walk down that pathway of simply repaying wrong for wrong, tit for tat, if we get caught up in the ever-escalating cycle of reactivity and one-upmanship, if we just decide that's the path I'm going down, the ever-escalating cycle of one-upmanship, where does that end? It just fills your world with nonsense. Will somebody be the person who will step in and say, I want to do what I can to break this chain, to break this cycle? You say, Ronnie, what you said today is hard. I know. You thought kindness was a vanilla topic. It's not vanilla. One of the most challenging assignments we have as believers, and that's why we'll often have to pray that wonderful prayer, one-word prayer. You ready? Help. Hey, don't knock it. It got Daniel out of the lion's den. Kept Peter from drowning. Help. All right, I want to close with one more story. Because kindness is incredibly, incredibly powerful. There's a woman by the name of Rosario Butterfield. She is a writer, speaker, homemaker. She's married to a Presbyterian pastor. She homeschools her children. She's a former tenured professor of English at Syracuse University. She earned her PhD degree from Ohio State and taught English literature and taught in the Women's Studies program at Syracuse University for 10 years from 1992 to 2002. She's widely known for her autobiography, Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, an English professor's journey into the Christian faith, in which she tells about her transformation from a postmodern lesbian professor to the wife of a Presbyterian pastor and mom. As a committed lesbian and professor in Syracuse, New York, she viewed Christians as, and I'm quoting, she viewed them as non-thinkers, judgmental, scornful, afraid of any sort of diversity. And in 1997, the Syracuse area was hosting a Promise Keepers conference. Some of you remember Promise Keepers conferences, conferences for men, Christian-oriented conferences for men. And she said, I saw that, and it made me sick to my stomach because it represented what she considered to be the unholy trinity. Patriarchy. I'm quoting her. Patriarchy, it smelled of Republican politics and Jesus. And she writes a scathing article in the local paper. Needless to say, she received a lot of mail in response to her scathing article. Now, for those of you who are younger people in the room, mail is where they would actually write on paper, and you would put it in something called an envelope. Everybody say envelope, envelope. And then on that, you put this thing called a stamp. And, all right. So she got all kinds of, mail. Fan mail, hate mail. What she did, she got two boxes, one on one side of her desk, one on the other side of her desk. You know, fan mail here. Plenty of fan mail. Way to go. Plenty of hate mail. And she said she'd encountered a number of Christians before when she would march in gay pride parades. They'd be out there holding up their signs and placards. She knew exactly what they thought of her, where they expected her to spend eternity, and they were glad of it, was her perception. So she gets fan mail. She gets hate mail. But she got another piece of mail. And she said, I didn't quite know what to do with it. She said, at first I threw it away. And then I went to the trash can, I picked it up again, and I kept it on my desk for 7 days. It wasn't fan mail, it wasn't hate mail. It's from a local Christian. In fact, he was a pastor in a church. His name was Ken Smith. His wife's name was Floyd. And it wasn't fan mail, it wasn't hate mail. She said it was warm, it was civil, and it was the kindest letter of opposition I'd ever received. And he asked me some very thought-provoking questions. He said, how did you arrive at your interpretations? How do you know you're right? Do you believe in a God? She said that Ken and his wife reached out to her, invited her to dinner, and they just struck up a friendship, and they would get together and have dinner, and Rosario and her partner would invite them over to their home, and she said, and they came into my home, and we talked politics, we talked religion, we talked sexuality. They did not treat me as someone to be erased. They engaged me. We had conversations. At one point, Ken asked if I would like to read the Bible. And I thought, well, it'd be research. So I started reading the Bible, and she said in her own words, I devoured it like a glutton devours food. And one day, she said, my partner and I were hosting a get-together, and one of my transgender friends warned me. Said, this Bible reading is changing you. Anyway, her story, thoughts of an unlikely convert. She says one of the turning points was simply the kindness of Ken and Floyd Smith. It wasn't fan mail. Neither was it hate mail. It was grace and truth and kindness. Gang, let me just ask, are we kind? Are we generously inclined toward those around us, or do we think and speak harshly to them and about them? Kindness is no small thing. It yields marvelous fruit, both in our lives and in the lives of those around us. The world may not be changed by kindness, but your corner of it will be. Celebrate the kindness of God. Demonstrate the kindness of God. Take what you've received. Pay it forward. We can do this, and God will help us.